Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and WNST, Baltimore Positive. Man, we got positive things going on. We're out at State Fair. We are in Catonsville. Yes, we are in Baltimore County with former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller, and we have slid the Howard County Executive up to Catonsville. We'll be at Jennings next week because I want to give some sponsors, Fadley's, but specifically, you have some roots here, don't you, Calvin Ball?
Yep, grew up, born and raised here in Catonsville.
Hometown, home cooking here. Well, State Fair has been cooking us up here for about 7 months. Appreciate you coming out and being a part of this. Heard so many things. At one point, I almost had breakfast with you. You did breakfast in the city a couple months ago, and I couldn't make it that day. So I'm glad we're spending some time together today.
Well, good things come to those who wait.
I've always been a fan of Howard County. I've been going to Meriwether concerts for 35 years. Come on.
Here's to another 35.
All right. Well, that's one. I'm glad we kept it around. I tell Damien O'Doherty that all the time.
Well, Mr. Executive, we always like to start because we're fascinated by outstanding people, outstanding leaders who are making a difference in the region. And we always ask them to sort of journey back in time and tell our listeners how little Calvin Ball, who grew up in Catonsville, how does he evolve into someone who's a respected county councilman, a county executive? How does that happen? Talk to us a little bit about your journey getting to this point.
Well, thank you so much. First of all, I just appreciate you all having me on. It's always good to listen and always good to be in the presence of County Executive Moeller. I always wanted to do something special, and I always wanted to help people. And most times growing up, I didn't know what that would look like. So I tried different things. I worked with the Attorney General's office. I was a firefighter, an educator, and did a lot of volunteer work. And one day, someone came to me and said, "Hey, where do you live?" And I told him, he said, "Well, you know, the county council member for that district is retiring. You should think about running. We've been seeing you, and you're active, and you're involved." And that kind of started my political career.
Well, when you're a young boy in Catonsville, and who were the influences? You talk about you always wanted to serve. As we dig down, we tend to find out that there were people, whether they're parents or teachers or coaches, who were making a difference and sort of directing you on a life's path. Who were those folks in your life?
Well, definitely my parents. My father, my first great hero, Vietnam era veteran, the coolest, smoothest, smartest guy I've ever known. My mother, brilliant, wise, so caring, so loving, very organized. And, you know, my grandmother, who we would sit sometimes and watch Jeopardy, and she could get all the answers right. And she was a nurse by profession and training. And, you know, I think those are my biggest early influences, and I was very blessed to have a family unit with my parents and my sister and my grandparents, of people who not only loved me but sacrificed and invested in me so that I could do even better in this generation.
You know, it's interesting, isn't it, Nestor, when the county executive talks about family and the people around him. We've had an incredible response to an interview we did last week with Sarah Heminger, who runs a group in the city called Thread, which might be one of the most incredible family-changing social structure organizations we've ever seen. And the goal of Thread is to surround young kids who might not have it with a family, a real support structure. And the success is amazing. And here again, you're highlighting that in your life, it was the people around you who made a difference.
Well, Thread is fantastic. When I ran a program at Baltimore City Community College called Complete College Baltimore, I used to sometimes try to work with Thread and help those students stay in, get their degree, and then transfer to a four-year or get gainful employment. And Thread is just an amazing organization.
Everybody knows about it. And 6 months ago, when you were Baltimore County Executive, did you know about Thread? You'd heard about it but didn't know about it.
Unfortunately, I'm going to tell you that I did not.
You did not.
And Nestor and I started, Mr. Exec, when we started to do this, it's not an exaggeration. Almost every guest would say to us, "You've got to have Sarah Heminger on. You've got to talk about Thread." So finally, I said to Nestor, "Well, we're going to have Sarah on." And since she's been on, the response has been incredible. I would encourage folks who are listening today, and again, it has your seal of approval, go to thread.org. You want to talk about making the city better because it's a regional effort. Go to thread.org. Get in touch with Sarah Heminger and see what you can do to make a difference. Because here we are 15 years. What year were you working down there where you were involved with Thread?
Oh, I did that until I became county executive.
Okay. So it's
recently
been an operation.
Yes.
15 years. 15 years now, over 500 students, 100% successful, going to college. Nobody's left the program. Just remarkable.
And she refuses to leave Baltimore with the program until we fix Baltimore.
That's right.
So, you know, one of the things that we put this together last year when Dom was finishing up a Baltimore case, saying Baltimore is obviously on the struggle, in a lot of different ways. And part of doing this was, well, how can Howard County or Anne Arundel County or Baltimore County or Harford County or Carroll County, what role do they play in making Baltimore better again? And from my travels, I hear plenty of people out in the counties. I'm from Baltimore County, but I get around. I have sponsors everywhere. Say, I'm never coming back to Baltimore. I squeegee boys, baseball team, something bad. I read on the news. I see on the I'm not going to Baltimore anymore. And I said to Don, that's the first problem. We need people from Howard County and people from all of these places to understand how important Baltimore is. And there's a Michigan model with Detroit where the whole state has gotten together to pick Detroit up. Baltimore's at a place right now, and I know you love Baltimore, and that's what Baltimore Positive was about. Tell me about a Howard County thought. Yeah, I know you got your own issues down there, but the Howard County people support Baltimore and always have.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I got my graduate degree from University of Baltimore, my doctorate from Morgan. My parents grew up and graduated from Baltimore City Public Schools, and the mayor has always been a good friend of mine and of Howard County's. And frankly, that's one of the reasons why I was excited. Just recently, we had Howard County Night at Camden Yards to celebrate the Orioles. And so really, like to your point, encouraging people, come to Baltimore City, enjoy the Orioles, and we won that night, so that's
there
good.
You
I
go.
Think Howard County brought a little good luck. And then enjoy the restaurants, and because we are a region. When people look, whether it's businesses or who have you, at this area, they don't just look at Columbia or Ellicott City. They look at the region. And so the stronger Baltimore City is, the stronger our entire region is.
Well, there's no wall at any of the borders. Right?
Not at all.
You know, we're all freely flowing. We don't pay it. Pay the toll when we go into Howard County.
Well, exactly. We talk about it all the time. I've lived in Baltimore County my entire life, yet when I'm in Newport, Rhode Island last week and someone says to me, where are you from? I don't say I'm from Baltimore County. I don't say I'm from Catonsville. I say I'm from Baltimore.
Right.
You know, we think of ourselves as a region. And I think that's why this whole discussion is so important. Looking at your role, one of the things that Nestor is always fascinated by is this whole issue of leadership. And you had several terms as a county councilman, even the chair of the council. And then you find yourself, you win an election about a year ago. What's been the biggest adjustment? What's the difference between moving to the executive branch from the legislative branch, and what's that transition been like?
So it's funny that you mentioned leadership. I spent a lot of time studying that over the years, and I think when I look at my leadership journey, I think in my 20s I saw myself as a servant leader. I was just a lot of jobs, a lot of volunteership. And then in my 30s, I saw myself more as a situational leader. There are certain different leadership styles that you need for certain situations. I had spent some time being a firefighter, what have you. In my 40s...
Well, in your 30s, you've made some decisions.
You
become a decision maker.
Exactly. And in my 40s, I think I've become a transformational leader. And I think as county executive, you have so much more power and opportunity to change things where you can look at a landscape, envision not just what is, but what can be, and then work with a team to actually make that happen.
Man, that sounds very Barack Obama. Sounds like, I heard you. But I mean, that really...
Well, somewhere in the resume here, he was one of the early supporters and organizers for the former president.
That was the message. And that message never gets old. I don't know what this message is here. My message is impeachment as I sit here and I watch. You know, I've been wearing my impeach hat for, well, since the day he came in. But we see this on the television every day. And then I sit with people like you, like Jack, like Brandon Scott, like Johnny O, like Don, servant leaders, people that are trying to make the world a better place.
That's right.
And lead with that, right? And not just with words, but with actions and deeds
exactly.
to be where you are. So this year you've had to make Howard County better. And I know everybody's beating on you, right? I mean, that's you got the team coming. I was down in Howard County last week, and I saw some angry parents about education. And I can't imagine how many things come to you on a daily basis. That's probably been the loudest thing for you. But as far as progress for where you wanted to be a year ago and where you are now, what do you look at and say, that street's cleaner, that thing's better, that system's better?
Yeah, well, I wanted to make sure that, you know, as an educator, and I've got kids in the school system, we do invest in education. So we were able to put in our operating budget record funding and the largest increase in over a decade, moving some school projects forward. And
infrastructure everything's built there, kind of, sort of, right?
Well,
you know, the same problems that Colgate Elementary had that was built in 1914 that Don and Johnny ripped down.
Zach, talk a little more about your education budget, and to Nestor's question, what were the investments?
So we invested in making sure that we didn't lay off any teachers. In fact, we were able to give teachers raises. We were able to keep our paraeducators. We were able to make sure that, you know, we invest in our young people. Just school lunches and things like that, summertime programs. So those are some of the things that were important. And also, as we're looking at capital, yes, we are a relatively younger county, so to speak. However, we've had a great deal of growth over the last 50 years. And so while there are some of our jurisdictions that have lost some population or have had a pretty stagnant growth in our last few decades, we've grown tremendously, Ellicott City, Columbia, so we've had to build schools. And one of the conversations that we're having now is about capacity, making sure that right now we have some schools that are over 130% capacity and some that are under 70. So making sure that all kids have the best learning environment and all of our educators have the best teaching environment.
And we want to, I don't want to give that short shrift, because I think that's going to warrant, and we'll have that larger discussion
today. I got a
lot
I wanted. I learned a lot about it. I mean, I've been going to Howard County my whole life, and I always wanted to live in Howard County. Like, when I
Me
would
too.
Drive down there, no, I mean, I'm a kid from Dundalk, and in 1984, 5, 6, I'm 15, 16, 17, and we would drive to Meriwether, and we would get off 29, and man, they had a mall, they had cool stuff, they had pretty girls, they had sunshine and parks, and, you know, and
we
and
still
I,
got all that.
I understand that. So, but I also understand that it was a completely planned community. It was planned to be, I call it Disney World, but it was planned to be completely welcoming to all people.
Exactly.
Color, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic, all of that. And somehow it's become a place that I learned that you've built new schools, but there's no equity there in income and in the type of houses that were built, that Jim Rouse would wake up and come in right now and say, what happened here? I mean, would you agree with that, that his vision is different than the way it's played out over the last 25 or 30 years?
So I think we're at a crossroads. You know, I think if you look at our Columbia schools, you know, if you look at just all Howard County schools, we're a majority-minority school system. So I think in a great respect, we do have a great deal of diversity. We also have maybe a quarter of our students almost who are on free and reduced meal. So we do in Columbia and Howard County, a county that is extremely affluent, have a lot of people who have need.
I don't think a lot of people know that.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
I learned that.
We do have, I think, a great deal of diversity. I think what happens is like you said, over time, whether or not there's older housing stock or there's turnover, because we are a relatively young county where people might have come in 50 years ago. They had three or four kids. Then they became empty nesters 20 years ago, and now they just turned it over to another family with three or four kids. So there's this ebb and flow of school capacity, and maybe the homes that are from the 70s and have the Brady Bunch feel,
The ones I always loved. The ones I always wanted to live in when I drove past them.
People might not be going to those as much that have a great deal of affluence, and maybe they're going to some of the other, you know, what some might see as a McMansion. And so I think there's always a push-pull. And, you know, I think in Howard County, we can be that example. There are equity challenges. There are equity issues, and I think we need to have a transparent community conversation about how we, again, enliven that Jim Rouse vision for the next generation.
You know, I think, Mr. Exec, what's been disappointing to some, and it probably shouldn't have been unexpected, was how quickly the conversation turned to issues of race and class. Some would say, well, not race, and class. And I thought the Sun paper, you know, in its editorial, tried to give both sides. And it ended, I'll just read it. It said, "Can we all agree that diverse is better? Even those students in high-performing schools would benefit from the real-world experience of going to school with someone who isn't of the same race, religion, and income level. Look around. The nation is seething with intolerance, and we'll talk about that today. It won't become a more tolerant place if youngsters of differing social circumstances are kept at a distance."
You know, I was talking with some young people last night, and the world is a different place, and the world in which we're raising our children are very different. You know, when we were younger, we were competing with, you know, maybe, if not the kid in the class, maybe a kid in the school in the next town. Now they're competing with the world. And I understand that there are a lot of parents who look at things like school academic placement tests, and they're thinking, you know, how's my kid going to be able to be successful in this world? However, that does not a successful student make in and of itself. Dealing with different people, even if you do raise that CEO has to be a leader and have followers and have different people of all kinds of abilities and backgrounds. And I think sometimes that gets lost in the conversation. And, you know, there are people all over the world who today are coming to Howard County just for the schools. They might get a home and have two or three families pooling their monies together just so they can go to a Howard County school. So the investment is very visceral and very important. And I think, you know, I understand why people feel so strongly.
Yeah, I was at an event a couple weeks ago, and I saw some parents that felt strongly. And yes. I remember when I was a child, my parents in East Baltimore County, they were going to close a school. And I remember my dad going to war and being a, you know, community organizer and all that.
Right.
Which county executive was going to control that. And I heard a woman sort of, you know, make a testimony about it. And I almost wanted to turn it and say, you know, if your child went to school X, and it might have been wildly, I don't know what school it was. And I thought, your kid can be a leader there the way the kids in my school in Dundalk High in 1981, and Dom will attest to this because that's where I met him. He was my high school guidance counselor in 1982.
Nice.
I always tell that. I always sneak that one in every story, too, just so the crowd's like, really? You're that old? But the real story, I guess, is I had gifted and talented kids come from Perry Hall, Overly, Chase, Essex, Lock Raven, Towson, to Dundalk in the early 80s on the little bus that they had to get 45 minutes before that made all the stops. And I never thought of how brave it was for their parents to send their kids down to Dundalk, where it wasn't Lock Raven, it wasn't Delaney, it wasn't Hereford, even then. I'm talking almost 40 years ago. And how brave that was to do that when I see other people, and you're seeing it every day, we're saying, My son or daughter's in the best school, and you all as county executives say, they're all good. They're all the schools
and
are good.
And on behalf of county
executives, you didn't think Dundalk was a bad school when you were teaching me at
Dundalk. On behalf of county executive Ball, this is a public service announcement. The county executive does not run the school system.
Oh, fair enough.
Just a public service announcement.
Just a note, I'm parking at the wrong person.
County Executive Ball does not, is that correct?
That is
unless
correct.
Unless there's something new in Howard County.
No, there's a separately elected board.
You
and
just
they,
have an opinion.
Well,
let's talk.
I just support all of our children, all of our educators.
But talk about that before we go to a break, and I know we're coming up on a break. What role, and we've shared similar roles, what responsibility do you feel in this, what has become a really emotionally charged debate? Even though you don't run the school system, what role do you play as county executive as trying to bring people together?
Great question, and I'm glad that you ended with bring people together. I think inherent in any partisan role, there are certain tensions. And I think sometimes the best thing that one can do is to not engage too directly. As you said, I have absolutely no role in redistricting. And there are some folks who have said, you know, we want you to get involved and tell the superintendent to change his plan or tell the Board of Ed to do something. Separately elected state entity, not only will it be inappropriate, but oftentimes it could have the exact opposite.
Yeah, I don't think it would go well.
It wouldn't go well. And so, you know, even in our budget, you know, people say, well, you have budget authority. Right. We don't even have line item budget authority.
Correct.
The board controls their budget. Most of the policies and laws are through the state. County executive
is
has very
little. Is this on purpose so you're not a king? Literally, right? I mean, is
pretty
it,
much.
Yeah. It's set up so you're not a king. So you're not doing favors for your buddies. And, you know, well, I can't touch that school because my, you know, my donors or whatever that
imagine
deal
if,
is.
Imagine if someone
as dirty
came
as our government is, as I'm sitting here right now for the rest.
We'll do a segment
we're in
on
the
to
water,
where we are.
We're in the Watergate era where all we're going to see on television at 11 in the morning is this, right? That we don't want kingmakers. So,
right.
So there is a part where you say, well, that not my job, but it's probably a good thing, right?
Yeah,
well,
imagine if somebody came to me and they said, we want you to stop this congressperson from putting in this congressional bill. I have absolutely no power, no authority to do that.
And I always said, I don't know about in Howard County, my reaction was when folks would come to me about a school issue, and I can remember my predecessor, Kevin Kamenetz, there were one or two very complex issues regarding what schedule a school should use. And Kevin looked at the advocates, and he had a good relationship with them. He said, I know this time you think it would be great if I had the power to step in and overrule the school board and the superintendent, because you don't like what they're deciding. But think about it in terms of precedent. You don't want elected officials, based on the amount of pressure they're receiving, making educational decisions.
That's right.
It's just not
based on what Twitter thinks.
It's just not what we want to do. We've got a lot to talk about.
We do.
We'll be back. It's coming up on a break. We thank Howard County Executive Calvin Ball. We'll be right back.
Got to thank our sponsors. We're at State Fair. We're in Catonsville. I had the chicken and waffles. Don told everybody on the internet about that.
The man loves his chicken and waffles.
We're going to be at Jennings. We're going to be at Fadley's next week. We got Senator Ben Cardin. Bill Ferguson's joining us. Who else?
We've got Congressman John Sarbanes.
Yep.
We've got Baltimore City School Superintendent Dr. Sanalise. All kinds of great guests coming up in the near future.
I think there'll be some Kerwin discussion coming up. We got Calvin Ball, County Executive from Howard County, joining us here in Baltimore County. That's Baltimore Positive, if I've ever heard it.
That's
we are
right.
WNSD.net, AM 1570, and WNSD Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore sports.